Hey everybody, it's me, Dave Splash, from thedarkstuff.com and the Dark Stuff Podcast. We're here with episode 109. Now, I have to make a little bit of a change up here in the order of shows. At the end of 108, Drake's Hotel, I said that the next episode was going to be a group discussion on The Replacements. Now, unfortunately, that group discussion got canceled last week because we had tornado warnings and severe storms and whatnot the night we were supposed to do it. We're rescheduling it for next week, so that one's going to have to be bumped up a little bit. So instead, what I decided to do was dig in the archives for another unaired interview, and I found one that I didn't even realize I still had on tape. Okay, let me take you back to Sunday night, October 15th, 2006. Do you remember what you were doing that night? I actually know what I was doing that night, because back then, my radio show, New Day Rising, used to be on at night from 9 o'clock to 11 o'clock. And I was live on air at that time. Now, over the previous week, I had been trying to score an interview with Ira Kaplan from Yo La Tengo, because Yo La Tengo was coming to Omaha to play at a place called Sokol Underground, and it was the band's first ever appearance in Nebraska, and they'd been a band for over 20 years. So the interview was going back and forth, and I have to pre-record interviews for the radio because they don't let me do live ones. And I thought we had it arranged that we were going to do the interview Sunday afternoon. They were going to do the phone call. I was going to record it. It would air on Sunday night show. The gig was later on in the week. When that ended up getting postponed or put off or whatever, because the timing wasn't going to work, I assumed the whole thing was canceled. I thought I made it clear that I couldn't go live on the air, and that if I didn't have it taped by, say, whatever the point was, 6 o'clock or something, that I couldn't do it. Well, when I didn't hear from them by 6 o'clock, I went on the assumption that it wasn't going to happen. I went on the show and started doing it as though it weren't going to happen. Midway through, I get the call. They want to put it on right then. They didn't get the message I couldn't go live. So I decided to risk it, figure that my boss probably wasn't listening. And it's like, you know what, if I'm going to get canned, I might as well get canned over Yo La Tengo, because Ira Kaplan is one of my favorites. Yo La Tengo is one of my favorite bands of all time. So I decided to take the risk. Well, I didn't get caught. The interview was very short. I was super nervous about being on for a long time. So the interview itself is only about 10 minutes. It's mostly about the fact that Yo La Tengo hadn't been to Nebraska in 20 years. But unless you listen to the show live at that time, that Sunday night, nobody's ever heard this interview. So because my order for the podcast got all screwed up and I wanted to have an episode this week, this is what I'm presenting you. Here it is. This is back from October 15th, 2006. This is my interview with Ira Kaplan of Yo La Tengo on the Dark Stuff Podcast.
Hey, this is Eddie Spaghetti from the greatest rock and roll band in the world, the Super Suckers.
Hey, this is Joe from the Mises.
This is Adam Franklin from Swerve Driver.
This is Artie Lang from the Howard Stern Show.
Hey, this is John from the Fag.
Hey, this is Rick Kubik, drummer from Matarone.
This is Josh Hayden from Spain.
Matt Sharp from The Rentals, and you are listening to...
And you're listening to The Dark Stuff Podcast.
And you're listening to The Dark Stuff Podcast.
The Dark Stuff Podcast.
We have Mr. Ira Kaplan from Yo La Tengo. He is the guitar player and the singer of the band. And Ira, can you say hello for us?
Hi there.
Okay, so hopefully everyone can hear that. I'm not the most technically gifted guy in the at the station here, so sometimes, you know, I goof up a little bit on the technical stuff.
Well, I hear you, and so...
Well, I think that's good enough. I'm gonna say we're working here, so that's good. Okay, well, for those who do not know, Yo La Tengo is coming here October 8th. That is 1 week from tonight, so you do have your choice. You can listen to the Unity Rising show, or you can see Yo La Tengo, but I think I know what most people are going to be doing that night, including myself. Just kidding. Let's get right into the questions. You have a brand new album. We just played the new single, Mr. Tough. The album is called I Am Not Afraid of You, and I Will Beat Your Ass. Now, that is a pretty, I don't know if provocative is the right word, but tell me where you're coming from with that
Well, I like provocative, because, you know, people have said other words about it, but I think it is provocative.
Yeah? You're comfortable with that?
Yeah. And frankly, we don't really like the idea of explaining it too much beyond that. I think it kind of, I mean, I know, you know, shows like yours introduces us to people who haven't heard us before, but I think it's kind of the most interesting way to learn about a band, to kind of let it unfold slowly rather than to kind of get a, oh, right, this is the group that does this, 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 and then it's all kind of laid out for you. And I think as people either already are familiar with us or learn about us, I think the name fits in a myriad of ways.
Now, here's a question I wanted to ask you. Now, you guys have been a band for over 20 years, and as far as I know, you never played in the Omaha area. Now,
that's correct.
Now, why is that? You've been a band. This is a great indie scene. Of course, you've heard about Bright Eyes and Cursive and all the great bands from here. Where have you guys been for the last 20 years?
I don't know. I mean, I think it's just the way things shake out. I mean, we actually played Lincoln in 1995, I think it was.
Okay.
That's our. That's the extent of our Omaha World Tour. I mean, Nebraska World Tour.
Yeah, that's close enough. That's about 40 minutes. That's good.
But I don't know. It's just one of those things. And I mean, I guess some of the bands you mentioned are all kind of more recent, and we haven't done a huge amount of touring in the last. You know, we did a lot of touring in 2003, then. So I'm not sure.
Okay, well, you know, I just had to give you a little grief about it since there's a lot that you do have a lot of fans in this town. There's no question about that. So a lot of people who've been waiting a long time to see. We were talking off the air that I personally haven't seen the band since 1995, so I'm extremely looking forward to it.
Well, we are too. I mean, you know, in setting up any tour, there's always, I mean, every day we get emails saying, why aren't you playing, you know, here? Why aren't you playing there? And our answer is always the same. It can't be everywhere at once. And, but it is exciting to us to go to places that we've never been before, and we were all looking forward to the show.
Now, how long is the tour? You mentioned your tour's been a little bit lighter over the last couple of years. How long is this current one that you're on?
Well, it depends how you define it. We're out for a month, then we go home for a week. We go to Europe for a month, and then we come back. We got some stuff to do at home in December, and then we'll go out again. So you could say it's a month, or you could say it's a year. Either would be accurate.
Okay, fair enough.
You know, I wanted to tell you, we actually covered New Day Rising once. We were playing in Philadelphia on New Year's Eve, and we were in the middle of like a long version of one of our songs, and we had a very elaborate way of finding out exactly when it was midnight. And at the stroke of midnight, we went to New Day Rising. That was our...
Excellent. Was there something recording that when you played it? I mean, is it out there anywhere that... people can look around on the internet, and maybe, you know, how everything is on the internet.
It might be. Yeah, I think that's, in that sense, it probably is. It does seem like there's a lot of our stuff circulating, but
well, we were talking.
I don't know.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt you there.
That's right.
Now, when you have so much material, I mean, you guys have been a band for 20 years, 20-plus years, actually. When you're approaching a tour, how do you decide what stuff you're going to play and what stuff you're not going to play? Because it seems to me that when you have as much material as you do and as many classic songs, somebody's going to be a little bit disappointed. Oh, you didn't play Tom Courtenay. Oh, you didn't play whatever. How do you guys determine what to put in
set? I think that's true. I mean, you know, basically everything's in play. I mean, there's a few songs that we don't know how to play as a trio. You know, we've never approached our live shows in a way that they should sound exactly like the record. And the record, we don't worry about how we play it live. So, like, on the current record, there's a few songs that we're not doing yet. And each record has a few that we, you know, really just will never play. But basically, we can play anything at any show. And so we just try to do a mixture. Obviously, we'll be concentrating on the new record, but we'll try to mix in some of the, you know, the more our better-known songs and then songs that maybe people who have seen us before might not have heard us play before. It's just, but every show is different.
Okay. Now, what do you think of the current state of independent music as it stands right now in 2006? I always want to ask bands this because, you know, I'm torn. I don't really know. I think there's a lot of great stuff out there. We're in sort of a transition period. I like to say it's sort of like 89, 90 was right before the sort of, you know, things were starting to really line up in terms of a lot of really great music coming out, and it was just barely beginning to get noticed, you know, above the mainstream threshold there. And usually when times are sort of conservative or politics are kind of conservative, music tends to get, at least historically, better. You know what I mean? Like there's this protest feel to it or something, you know, for lack of a better word. What do you think about the current state of independent music right now?
Well, I got to say, I think that's probably something that you spend more time thinking about than I do.
Yeah.
You know, I think we...
Do you identify yourself with any sort of scene, or is it Jiola Tango exists in its own world?
Except for how pretentious that sounds, I would say that's true. I mean, I think we've always kind of bristled at almost any description. I think a lot of bands are like that, but you know, if somebody asked me, I'd just say we're a rock band. You know, any kind of the categories, I don't think help. They don't do much for us.
Right. Okay. Well, what are you guys listening to in the van lately? What have you been listening to?
Well, let's see. I'm trying to think. I was listening to right before we left. We're good friends with Mac McCon from Portastatic and Superchunk and Merge. He sent us some of their new records. Sort of listening to some of the new Portastatic stuff. And right before we left on tour, we got to see Lamb Chop also from the Merge stable of stars. The New York Dolls actually played Hoboken, a street fair.
Now, what do you think of that new record, the new New York Dolls record?
I haven't heard it. You know, I've seen them do those songs. I've seen them like three times recently, so I've heard a lot of the songs live, but I haven't heard the record.
I really liked it. I mean, I'm not old enough to have been around when the Dolls were, you know, originally there, but you know, like a lot of people, I probably questioned, well, how could you have the New York Dolls without Johnny Thunders? But I don't know. It's a pretty solid record. I kind of
Like it. I'm not surprised to hear that. That one song is like "We're All in Love." Is that what
"We're All in Love."
That song.
Yeah, I think that's Michael Stipe might be on backup vocals or something.
Oh,
on
really?
That one. I think so.
He didn't make the Hoboken Street Fair.
No, he was busy some political protest or something like that.
I gotta say, I recently kind of because we've been seeing some doll shows, I saw that. That Bob Gruen DVD of some of their really old playing, and you know, as good a job as I think Steve Conte's doing. I mean, Johnny Thunders is pretty much irreplaceable.
Oh, sure, absolutely.
That sound is really one of a.
Well, I'm sure they're much more consistent these days.
Yes, I would imagine.
Okay, well, we're gonna kind of wrap it up here a little bit. I just want everyone to know. Well, first, I wanted to ask you one last question. Tell us about the band Y that it is opening for you guys next week.
Okay, they're. In fact, I just found out that they're from Cincinnati, but they're transplanted to Oakland. A almost indescribable band to me. There's three of them. One of them plays drums and vibraphone simultaneously. Or maybe it's a xylophone. And then his brother is the lead singer, and he plays keyboard and percussion and snare drum. And then there's this really amazing multi-instrumentalist who plays guitar, Wurlitzer piano, and bass pedals. And just even though, I mean, the songs are, there's a kind of a rapping aspect to them, but they're also really poppy, and orchestral in the way they're written. I mean, it's I would say a unique sound. They're really amazing.
Okay, well, that is the scoop on Y. Now, just so everybody knows, Jiola Tango is playing a week from tonight, Sunday, October 8th, at Sokol Underground. The concert starts at 9 o'clock. The opening band is Y. Tickets are $15. If you need any more information, you can go to 1%productions.com. That's, I believe, where you can buy tickets through them, or probably at Homer's or wherever you would go to get your normal tickets. Jiola Tango's newest CD is called I Am Not Afraid of You and I Will Beat Your Ass. It is out now on Matador Records. The new single is called Mr. Tough. We just heard it. We're going to go back a ways for Jiola Tango. We're going to go to, I believe, 1997's album, I Can Hear the Heartbeat Is One. We're going to play a song called Autumn Sweater right now on 89.7 The River on New Day Rising. And thanks a lot to Ira Kaplan from Jiola Tango. And here goes
the. So there you have it, short and to the point. That was my radio interview with Ira Kaplan from Jiola Tango. And you can tell it's a radio interview. It's all about the new stuff, all about the tour. Anyways, I hope you enjoyed it anyways. It was a great moment for me. I was, like I said, super nervous about getting caught. But the cat's out of the bag. I mean, hey, this was, what, 8 years ago? 7.5 years ago? I feel like I can just admit that that's what I did at this point in time. Before I let you go, I just want to give a little reminder about the Facebook page. It's facebook.com/thedarkstuffpodcast. You can look for me on on Twitter, at Dave Splash. Again, find the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker, TuneIn, Podomatic, YouTube, wherever or however you listen to the show. Thanks a lot for listening. This has been the Dark Stuff Podcast.
Transfer of data is complete.